big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to a new deep dive. Today we're tackling something really important, something shaping our world, often behind the scenes. AI bias.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't just about, you know, noticing AI can sometimes be unfair. We're working from excerpts from Institutionalizing AI Bias, the Algorithmic Entrenchment of Inequality.
Right.
And based on that, we're exploring how AI systems might actually be embedding bias, amplifying it right into our institutions.
That's exactly it. This document argues pretty powerfully that AI isn't just sort of passively mirroring prejudice found in data. It's using its core mechanics, math, feedback loops, less human oversight to build systematic discrimination at scale.
And the scale mentioned in the source?
Yeah.
It's honestly staggering. We're talking potential impacts on, what, over 70 million patients in healthcare?
Yeah, it's huge.
And $500 million lost by Black and Latino homeowners every single year from mortgage discrimination.
That's massive. And then there's the criminal justice site algorithms linked to false arrest rates twice as high for Black defendants compared to white ones.
It really sounds like a critical piece for understanding the mechanisms, you know, not just the anecdotes, but how this happens, the real impact, and maybe what can be done.
Exactly. Understanding the why and the what's next.
So our mission today.
Yeah.
Unpack this document, pull out the key insights, and really get our heads around what institutionalized AI bias actually means. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. So the core idea, like the source stresses right up front, is this shift. It's moving beyond seeing bias as just, you know, individual prejudices popping up.
Right, not just garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. The source says the system design itself can create these stable discriminatory equilibria. Basically, biased outcomes get locked in and reinforced.
And those numbers you mentioned just paint such a stark picture.
Yeah.
70 million patients. Wow.
It's immense.
And that $500 million mortgage figure, specifically saying even with identical risk profiles, that clearly points to something systemic, not just individual bad luck.
Absolutely. And the source breaks it down into three interconnected layers causing this. First, the actual computational processes, the code, the math encoding historical bias.
Okay.
Second, these feedback loops that don't just repeat discrimination, they cement it.
Cement it, okay.
And third, and this is crucial, taking human discretion out of the loop, removing that chance for context or nuance.
Okay, that third one feels really big.
Yeah.
But let's start with the first layer, the computational part. The document gets into the actual math, right? This isn't just conceptual.
It really isn't. And this is where it gets fascinating. Take gradient descent, a really common algorithm for how models learn. The source even gives the formula set plus one LL.
Right.
What that basically means is if your training data has biases, maybe fewer examples of success for certain groups, the gradients, which are like the adjustment signals for learning, they get biased too.
Uh-huh.
And over tons of iterations, this nudges the model towards settings that systematically disadvantage those groups. The math itself is embedding the unfairness.
So the learning process itself isn't neutral. It can actively deepen societal inequalities based on the input data. And the source mentioned some MIT research, gradient starvation.
Yeah, that's one concept. It's where minority groups in the data might not get enough attention from the algorithm during training, so the model just doesn't learn to handle their cases properly.
It sort of ignores them.
In a way, yes. Yeah. And then there's feature geometry coherence. This is pretty interesting. The source explains it as social biases getting baked into the actual relationships the AI learns between concepts.
Oh, so?
Well, imagine the AI learns concepts and it represents them in some kind of internal space. Bias in the data could mean the concept doctor ends up mathematically closer to man than woman in that space. Not because it's true, but because the data reflected society's bias.
Wow. Okay. And the document uses the COMPASS system, the criminal risk tool, as a key example here, talking about the mathematical impossibility of fairness.
Yes, this is a really important point they make. COMPASS, the source explains, can't simultaneously satisfy two common fairness definitions, calibration fairness and equalized odds if the base rates of reoffending are different between racial groups in the real world.
What's the difference between those two fairness types again?
So calibration fairness means the risk score is accurate within each group. Like a score of 7 means roughly the same likelihood of reoffending for both black and white defendants.
Okay.
Equalized odds means the error rates, false positives and false negatives, are the same across groups. So you're not wrongly flagging members of one group as high risk more often than another.
And the source says you can't achieve both at the same time if the base rates differ.
Mathematically, no. Not when those real-world rates are different to begin with. So you have to choose which kind of fairness to prioritize, and either choice ends up institutionalizing a specific type of disparity based on those group differences.
So the algorithm designer is forced into a trade-off that inherently creates some form of bias.
That's the argument, yes. A fundamental constraint. Mm-hmm. And then, making things worse, you have the feedback loops. The source calls these maybe the most insidious form of bias amplification.
Insidious, why? Because they're hidden.
Partly, but also because they create these self-feeding cycles. The document outlines three kinds. First, data feedback loops. A bias prediction, say, denying someone a loan becomes data. That biased outcome then gets fed back into the system to train the next version. So the bias reinforces itself.
The AI learns from its own mistakes, but in the wrong way.
Exactly. Second, behavioral loops. The AI recommends things, products, news, whatever, and that changes our behavior, which then creates new, possibly biased patterns for the AI to learn from.
Ah, okay. Like recommendation bubbles, but potentially reinforcing stereotypes.
Could be. And third, institutional feedback loops. An algorithm's decisions might change actual policies or practices in a company or agency, which then changes the kind of data collected in the future, locking the bias into the organization's operations.
It's like the bias grows roots. It's not just echoing, it's embedding itself deeper.
Precisely. And the source mentions there's mathematical analysis showing these systems, if you just let them run, can actually move towards the maximum possible bias level over time. That formula they included, limit to guess next, bias max 1 EKT. It basically shows bias potentially ramping up and plateauing at its worst sustainable level without intervention.
Okay, understanding the mathematical embedding and the amplification from feedback loops,
mm-hmm.
it makes the real-world examples feel even heavier. The document calls the impacts quantifiable, devastating.
They really are, and right across critical areas. Employment, for example. The source cites research on resume screeners, LLMs favoring white-sounding names 85% of the time.
85%.
And never favoring black male-sounding names over white male names in that study. This kind of finding was key in that first big class action suit, Mobley v. Workday Inc.
Right, showing this has real legal consequences now. In the financial side you mentioned earlier, the markups analysis.
Yeah, finding black applicants 80% more likely to be denied mortgages, Latino applicants 40% more likely, Native Americans 70% more likely, even when similar to white applicants on paper.
That's huge disparities.
And then the Berkeley study, putting a price tag on it, $500 million a year in extra interest for black and Latino homeowners. Just based on these algorithmic assessments, even with identical risk factors, it's a direct economic hit.
And healthcare, too. You mentioned race corrections earlier. That sounds problematic.
Deeply. The source points to things like pulse oximeters potentially being less accurate on darker skin. During COVID, that might have meant black patients waiting 30% longer for needed care.
Wow. Because the device itself had a bias.
A bias in how it functioned based on skin pigmentation, yes. And it's not just devices. Race adjustments are built into clinical tools. The VBAC wrist calculator might give lower scores to black or Hispanic patients based partly on race. Pulmonary function tests often use a race correction that lowers estimated lung capacity for black patients by 10-15%.
So doctors are getting race-adjusted data from the tools they rely on.
Yes, these adjustments are embedded, institutionalizing different standards of care based on race.
And criminal justice, those COMPASS scores, again, being proprietary, hidden. Judges can't even interrogate the logic.
Often not, which the source says prevents proper judicial oversight, even while these scores heavily influence decisions about bail, sentencing, people's actual freedom.
Which leads right back to that third layer you mentioned, the removal of human discretion. The source calls this maybe the most fundamental threat to civil rights.
It's a strong statement, but you can see why. Remember that quote from the mortgage officer in the document?
Yeah, you just know that's a better client than someone else that might have gotten approved, even when the algorithm said no.
Exactly. That human judgment, that contextual understanding, that ability to see nuances the data might miss.
Yeah.
It gets sidelined.
People are trained to just the algorithm?
Increasingly, yes. Or they're incentivized to, or the system is just too opaque to question effectively. Doctors, judges, loan officers, they might defer to the AI's recommendation without fully grasping why or being able to step in if it seems wrong or unfair in a specific case. The algorithm becomes the authority, bypassing that crucial human element.
Okay, so it's a complex picture, baked in math, feedback loops, sidelining human judgment. Given all that, what does the source say about solutions? What's being done?
Well, the document points to efforts on multiple fronts: technical, community-led, and regulatory.
So technically?
There are tools being built. IBM's AI Fairness 360 toolkit gets mentioned. It has like 70 ways to measure bias, 9 algorithms to try and fix it, showing some decent results in improving fairness.
Okay.
And MIT researchers are working on ways to find and even remove specific bias data points from training sets without wrecking the model's overall accuracy. So targeted technical fixes.
But what about the community side? That seems vital if these systems affect specific groups. The source mentions this question of minority communities building their own AI.
Yeah, it raises that nuanced question. There are trade-offs, right? Resource challenges versus maybe creating fragmented systems. But it also highlights successful grassroots examples.
Like what?
Mozilla Common Voice, huge crowdsourced voice database, tons of languages built by volunteers, and the Big Science Project, international collaboration, open source language models, diverse participation.
Trying to build diversity in from the ground up.
Exactly. And the research cited is pretty clear. Development teams that are diverse are just much better at spotting potential biases early on. Involving affected communities throughout the whole process is key.
Not just testing at the end, but involved all the way through. Makes sense.
Absolutely. The source really pushes this idea of socio-technical solutions, combining the tech tools with that deep community engagement. And then there's regulation.
Right. Laws and policies.
We're seeing things emerge. New York City's local law 144 is one example, requires bias audits for hiring tools, often needing a third party to verify.
Okay. Actual audits.
And the EU AI Act is a big one. A really comprehensive framework, big potential fines, includes requirements aimed at preventing bias.
And is there evidence these approaches are working?
The document suggests they show promise. It mentions healthcare tools using more diverse data do show better, fairer outcomes. And recruitment tools built with fairness in mind have apparently led to measurable drops in discriminatory hiring. So, yes, progress is possible.
But I sense a but coming.
Well, the source is quite clear. Technical fixes alone won't cut it, not when the biases are tangled up with deep historical societal inequalities. It cites researchers Timnit Gebru, Sophia Noble, Ruha Benjamin, whose work argues you need structural transformation that goes way beyond just tweaking algorithms.
And does the source see that broader view reflected anywhere official?
It points to the NIST AI Risk Management Framework. NIST is adopting what they call a socio-technical approach, emphasizing impacts on people and planet. It actually requires looking at training data bias and engaging stakeholders.
So a more holistic view is gaining traction. What about the broader policy landscape? Is there momentum?
There is, but the document also stresses its fragility. It lays out a timeline, impartially reporting the facts from its perspective.
Yeah.
It mentions the Biden administration's Executive Order 14110 Comprehensive Oversight focus on bias prevention.
Okay.
And the proposed 2024 AI Civil Rights Act as potential federal legislation.
But then,
the source notes, the subsequent Trump administration's 2025 Executive Order 14179 revoked that Biden framework. It pivoted towards industry self-regulation instead of federal oversight.
Wow, okay.
And the document explicitly uses that sequence to illustrate what it calls the fragility of policy-based solutions, how quickly things can change.
That definitely highlights the political dimension. What about internationally?
The source touches on that too. The EU Act being comprehensive, China's algorithm registry focusing on transparency by making databases public, the UK taking a more flexible sector-specific path. The key point made is that AI doesn't respect borders, so coordination is really needed.
So, pulling it all together, what's the path forward according to this document? What are the big takeaways on the stakes?
The expert consensus presented is pretty stark. Because AI bias is so deeply linked to history and society, tech fixes aren't enough. You need societal change alongside the technical and regulatory work.
What are the immediate steps mentioned?
Things like standardized bias testing, common ways to measure it, clear rules for compliance, mandatory data quality standards, specific guidelines for high-risk areas like healthcare or hiring.
And longer term?
Things like getting international regulations aligned, figuring out liability, who pays when algorithmic harm happens, building public infrastructure like testing centers, and training people to actually identify and fix bias.
But the ultimate goal isn't just less bias, it's more fundamental.
Right. The source argues the ultimate goal is preserving human agency, human critical thinking, in a world leaning on automation, moving past just audits after the fact towards structural changes, changing power dynamics, fixing economic incentives that might drive bias, and always keeping meaningful human oversight in the loop for important decisions.
And the stakes, if we don't get this right.
They're laid out very clearly. Biased AI could permanently cement historical inequalities into our core systems. It risks making discrimination look scientific, objective, legitimate, while operating at a scale we've never seen before, affecting millions, costing billions.
So the call to action is?
Unprecedented collaboration. That's the phrase used. Technologists, the communities affected, policymakers, civil society, charity, everyone needs to work together. The source frames equitable AI as essentially a defining civil rights challenge for our time.
Wow. Okay. We've covered a lot there, from the math embedding bias, the feedback loops amplifying it, to the devastating real-world costs, and this really complex mix of solutions, technical, community, policy that the source outlines.
And understanding these mechanics, the impacts of institutionalization, it really is crucial for you, the listener, as AI weaves itself deeper into our lives, our jobs, our institutions.
Absolutely. And maybe a final thought to leave you with, drawing from the document's core argument. If AI isn't just reflecting bias, but actively embedding and amplifying it, often through opaque processes and pushing human judgment aside, where does the real power and accountability actually lie? How do we ensure meaningful oversight when the logic might be hidden, or when people are just trained to accept the algorithm's output? That feels like a central tension to keep wrestling with as we navigate the world this source describes.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.